And welcome in to the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. And we are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. Glad to be out in Murfreesboro yesterday, back in studio today. How are we doing? What's going on?
Yeah, I'm good. Similar drive in to work, for about an hour less drive for you today than yesterday. But that was fun. We had fun yesterday.
I did wake up at 3:45 in the morning yesterday. I was like, geez, this is early. Like, it's really dark outside.
You're like, then you head for the Alabama border.
Yeah. It's like, yep, see my family in 3 days. See you guys later. That worked out fine. Good stuff yesterday in Murfreesboro. Ian? As my microphone falls down to the floor, what are we doing? How are things going? What's
Low
going on?
Low T mic.
Doing good. Good to see you guys. Yeah. Sound like it was a fun time out there yesterday.
I don't know that I'm going to get tired of the low T stuff anytime soon.
It just works.
I think you may have struck gold there. It's the low T Titans. Oh, man. There it goes again. All right.
Oh, boy.
Maybe I'll have to wrestle with it like Kuharski did.
Maybe that's why the chair was so low
last week. The chair's been fixed, but now the mic is
But somebody has absolutely screwed up the microphone. So
plug one hole.
Yeah. See how that goes. We got a lot going on the program today. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 7 o'clock. Brian Callahan will be addressing the media later this morning. We hope to run that live for you on the program as well. Back at it today for the Titans before taking off to Tampa Bay and taking on the Buccaneers in a joint practice, and then the preseason game coming up this weekend. So we'll hear from Brian Callahan a little bit later in the show as well. Who knows, Joe? Maybe he's still riled up from the other day, and he just comes out to that press conference steaming today. 72 hours later or whatever it is.
Get ready with that dump button there, Ian. You never know.
I'll be ready.
Maybe he needs to say a few of those words to some of the media folks.
Maybe so.
Maybe he'll use
John.
Fart.
Yeah, there you go. Or maybe he'll go the Hubert Davis route. Hey, Glennon, you want to go talk to Trey Avery? Get your ass up to New England. Go ahead. Go. Go talk to Trey Avery. I have nothing to say about Trey Avery.
We will get into that. You're coming up here in just a few minutes because I saw that and just immediately started laughing yesterday.
Vrabel's finally found the championship formula.
Yep. Thank you, Trey. Get your butt up there to New England. Go win yourself a Super Bowl. Speaking of former Titans, who I guess are now current Titans again, Condre Diggs back with the Titans. He signs yesterday with Tennessee. Two moves yesterday at safety for the Titans, including Diggs back into the fold, who, as we know, was a member of the Titans last year. He played in 8 games last year before getting hurt, has been out there, has been available, and now he is back here in Tennessee and is the newest member of the Tennessee Titans again. So I don't know exactly what that's going to mean for the safety room. I mean, he's 32 years old. He's coming off a year last year where he only appeared in 8 games, and they've addressed safety already this offseason. So I'm not exactly sure what his role is going to be here with the Titans, but Diggs back in the fold here in Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, it's good depth. I mean, if he's your fourth safety, that's even at his age, that's not bad.
No.
So certainly less excitement about him coming in now than there was a year ago, right? When you still thought maybe, that maybe there was a little more than there was than we saw last year. But good depth. And, I mean, I didn't know until they signed him that he was Cam Ward's cousin.
Now,
did you know that?
I think I had heard that because I think I remember seeing a video about that earlier in the draft process. But, no, I have not thought about that in months.
So, do we have that? He had an interesting little comment.
Oh, 1 second.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, he had an interesting little comment about Cam. I guess that must have been at Cam's pro day, right?
I would assume so.
That I think Jimmy Wyatt got it.
I believe that is correct.
Yeah, so – you got Restrepo in here to catch passes. You got cousin Quandre here to defend them.
Yeah, I guess so.
Maybe. I mean, actually, the way that the depth chart shakes out, might see some Diggs, Restrepo, going at each other. Who does Cam favor?
He just starts.
Yeah, who's the real GM of the team?
Yeah.
Is it Cam Ward?
It could
maybe
be,
huh?
I need you guys to go get Diggs. Need to bring him in here.
Yeah.
Teach those defensive backs stop catching my passes and practice here. Be good stuff.
But yes, here's that Diggs. It was from the pro day.
There you go.
Competitive prick. You know what I mean? He's one of the guys that, you know, you would love to go to war with, and everything you can think of in a quarterback, he does that. So I'm just proud to see his growth and see him continue to be the man that he's becoming.
Tell me about your relationship with him. How you remember him from the time he was a little boy?
I mean, he was bad as heck as a kid, so a lot of good times. But you know, I used to push him around and stuff like that. But he used to come to a lot of my games and stuff like that, support. And we were really close knit family, so we used to see each other every weekend or at church or things like that. So we grew up in the church household.
Has he asked you about the Titans? Obviously, your experience there Nashville.
I mean, all year it's been the same thing all year, and I've been vouching for him since I got there, so that's what's been cool about it.
What have you told him about the city, about the team, how he would fit in there?
I told him he'll love it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I told him that it's a place that's seeking a good football team and want to go out there and compete. And, you know, I think with Cali and, you know, all the guys, Denard, those guys over there, I think it's going to be, you know, it'll be a good transition for him.
How do you think he'll be at the next level? Obviously, you've seen him mature from high school through college.
I mean, I don't think it's nothing he can't handle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Coming from the way he's come, the route he's had to take has been totally different than other people's routes. So everything he's been through, he's put the work in. He's going to continue to do the work. And like I said, he's a competitive freak, and he just wants to be the best.
There you go. It was Condre Diggs earlier in the offseason at Cam Ward's pro day.
What did he say at the beginning?
What do you mean?
I think he said competitive as heck or something like that.
Okay, okay, yeah. Okay. I thought he called him a competitive word, and I'm like, wow.
Freak.
Freak. Okay, all right, there you go. Good.
Mind out of the gutter at 6:07 in the morning.
Yeah, it sounded like something different. I'm like, dang, I'd never heard those words combined together, but yeah. So there you go.
Good to know. Good to know he's in here, and you know, maybe Cam Ward is the one making decisions out there right now.
Whatever can make Cam feel comfortable.
I need Restrepo to make the team. Forget the fact that he's like the ninth wide receiver on the depth chart right now. I need Restrepo to make the team,
and I need Diggs to be our starting safety.
Well, if those two things happen, then we know who's calling the shots around.
Yeah,
here,
I would say so. Know? I would say so. I'm interested to see how it goes. Like, I'll be honest with you. You know, when they made the two moves at safety yesterday, before I saw the corresponding moves that happened, I was like, is there a safety hurt? Like, did Kevin Winston get hurt at practice or something? Like, what's going on? Why are they bringing in all these safeties
right
now? It turns out that does not appear to be the case. So, that's good. Everybody appears to be healthy.
Versatility, you know, it's not bad to have depth at certain spots. I mean, that's the thing. I guess I kind of assumed either way, I could have believed that Diggs was done or that he had just signed with somebody else,
yep.
You know? I mean, but, yeah, it's not a bad thing to have. He's a guy you can plug him in if you need to and play. I mean, we don't know how. Yeah, Nevada Josh, that's exactly what I thought it was too, Nevada Josh. But, you know, we don't know, like, how active or involved like Winston will be early in the season. There's a lot of excitement about him as a prospect and as a player, but is he gonna be ready? You know, does this have any comment on that? I mean, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know. Like, you know, you're talking about a guy that they signed yesterday in Joshua Bledsoe that has played four NFL games in his career. So I don't know how much of a factor he's gonna be. Diggs, we'll see what that rotation ends up looking like. But I mean, again, we talked about, you know, somebody asked us yesterday about how are you feeling about the secondary. Well, if they can find a way to stay healthy, you know, they're continuing to add to the secondary. And look, you know, Diggs last year, I think it was pretty clear, Joe, and I don't know how much of it was him and how much of it was the defense around him, but Diggs is not the same player that he used to be in Seattle, clearly. So what is that going to mean for what he can bring to the table in camp? And again, if everybody's healthy, what are the snap counts going to look like? You know, it's safety specifically, if everybody's healthy, how much is Winston getting in there, right? Like, that's going to be, I think, a thing that a lot of Titans fans are paying attention to is, all right, you've got Woods, you've got Hooker, Winston, how much is he getting on the field? And then you have kind of Diggs now in the background. So all of a sudden, some interesting options, at least, for Denard Wilson in his secondary group.
Yeah, well, we're not used to seeing depth anywhere, so that's what it looks like. it would be good to have an equivalent of a Quandre Diggs,
yeah,
like at other positions, at the edge or, you know, tight end or whatever, where it's like actually Saber. Someone you know, yeah, someone you know who can play if yeah.
I'm just going to start listing positions again like I used to do in our old show open.
Linebacker. Yep. Football. Right, basketball.
Yes.
Yeah.
Gunner.
Why did Chase get rid of that?
You know?
I like that. I want to go back to that.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Glad you did.
Sports. Television.
Left wing, right wing, defenseman, goalie. I can do them all. There's a lot of positions I know. I know the name of a lot of these positions
just
out there.
Keep calling them out if you know them. Yeah, it's great, going. Man. Yeah.
Congratulations, Quandre Diggs, back with the Tennessee Titans. We'll see what that ends up looking like in camp. But those Tampa Bay Buccaneers better watch out, baby. Titan safety group is lethal looking heading into camp.
That's right.
Baker Mayfield.
Loaded up.
Teddy Bridgewater. Kyle Trask. Head on a swivel, baby.
Former Watch out Voltron out there. Out there.
That's right. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Some more NFL news to get to coming up next. We'll take your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Plus, old friends reunited in the National Football League. We will get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Some news to get to around the NFL. Before we get to a suspension in the NFL and what's going to be a high-profile quarterback with a lot of eyeballs on him coming up this weekend, Trey Avery signing with the New England Patriots yesterday, Joe.
There we go,
a reunion Braves. Of sorts. I guess we should have seen this coming, but Trey Avery, you know, beloved member of this program, beloved member of the Tennessee Titans, back in camp with the New England Patriots yesterday.
Big
He's been
time.
Claimed.
John Glennon, his ears perked up. His journalistic instincts are dragging him to New England to find out.
Do you think he could be part of the nickel package, perhaps?
Mike, what'd you sign Trey Avery for this time?
Are you yelling at anybody right now, Mike? Let me go ask you about Trey.
Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
Trey, ever need to show you anything?
Did you have another thought or no? I'm just curious.
I mean, it's probably, you know, there's a lot of different Vrabel clips to choose from. You know, I saw him on Bussin' with the Boys yesterday and was reminded that, like, when he wants to be, he's very funny. But that one may be my favorite. I think that's either that one or him asking you what you're doing with your hands. Definitely my favorite.
Yeah. The underrated one is the storming out on Glennon, but there's not a lot of audio except for Coy.
Well, real grown-up of you. Real mature.
Yeah. Now I'm actually regretful. We need to keep a running list of all the former Titan coaches and players who are now reunited with Vrabel. I know Stretch. Stretch is out there. There was another big story on Stretch out there in one of the Boston papers.
Yeah, Boston Globe.
So we know
Jack
Stretch.
Gibbons is up there.
Dr. Jack, you better believe it.
Yeah.
Obviously, several coaches and stuff too. So Trey Avery, it just makes sense, you know.
It does.
Yes.
Congratulations to Trey Avery. I wish him well in New England Patriots camp.
That Bussin' with the Boys would have been amazing because I've only seen the one clip where they talked about him being fired.
Yeah.
He was like, Lawan's asking some goofy-ass questions, but – you know, Vrabel was like, yeah, he went in and got fired. Glennon popped in.
Excuse me. Let's get to Trey Avery,
busted.
Please.
Yeah.
Well, you've not asked about Trey Avery yet.
Glennon absolutely hates it when we talk about this,
yeah,
too,
but
which
makes
it
Glennon
even
won't be up for hours.
That's
so
true.
We can rip him at will right now. It's great.
It's true. Joe, some news in the NFL. Jordan Addison of the Minnesota Vikings yesterday suspended for the first three games of the season by the National Football League for violation of the league's substance abuse policy. So it looks like the Vikings will be without Addison for the first three games. Now, I hear those of you out there be like, well, it's a good thing they got Justin Jefferson then. You just throw him the ball a little bit more. We'll see what happens on that front. But Addison, the first three games of the year will not be available. And we saw last year with Sam Darnold at quarterback and those two at receiver, Addison and Jefferson, what that combination could be. Addison last year, 63 catches, 875 yards, 9 touchdowns in 15 games. So pretty productive year in year number 2 for Addison a year ago. In his first year, he had 70 catches for 911 yards. So he's been right around kind of the edge of a 1,000-yard guy in each of his first 2 years, and it looks like he will miss the first three games.
Yep, he's a heck of a player. That's a big loss for them. It's really interesting, you know, looking at the NFC North. First of all, there's definitely a lot of – well, I saw Diana Russini, Colin Coward back and forth about J.J. McCarthy,
yep,
which was interesting, which is basically Colin Coward saying, so why am I hearing from some people that things are going great, but the people that I know are telling me that there's real concern? And it's there's definitely some, like, he's not lighting up camp. And I agree with Colin Coward, which is like, young quarterbacks, it does mean something. You know, the veterans, sometimes they don't care about camp. That's why, like, when Tannehill's here, like, yeah, okay, whatever he's doing. I mean, he knows how to play in the NFL. Young quarterbacks, though, that does matter. Caleb Williams seems to be struggling in camp, which is kind of interesting. The Detroit Lions look completely, like, incapable of playing football in their first preseason game. Are your Green Bay Packers just going to sit there and just dominate the entire division?
I mean, one can hope.
I mean, that might be what's about to happen.
They just lost
here.
A starting cornerback yesterday, so we'll see what that looks like as they move forward here. But we'll see.
I missed that. Who's that?
Nate Hobbs. I mean, oh. He'll be back by hopefully the regular season, but we'll see.
And the Rams hope.
Jordan Love.
There we go.
Love that guy.
That Matt Stafford is back, by the way, but he had to have a freaking epidural in his.
Yeah, that doesn't sound
aggravated
good.
Aggravated disc, yeah, does not sound good. Epidural
good.
Does not sound good.
Yeah.
Sciatica. So. The NFC is kind of looking, you know, a little bit Philly. And
yeah.
Philly and who knows after that?
Yeah, we'll see. It's going to be fascinating. I mean, look, you know, the NFC North last year had the Vikings who won 14 games, Lions who won 14 games.
15 games.
15 games. Packers who won 11 or whatever it was last year. So, I mean – conventional wisdom would tell me that's probably going to come down a little bit. Like, you're not going to have three teams in a division winning double-digit games again, probably. But we'll see what happens on that front. But, yeah, like the Stafford stuff, we talked about him yesterday. Like, I do think that they've got a chance to be pretty good. And if he's just not going to be healthy, that's going to be a massive problem.
They don't have as much of a chance, yeah.
Much people love Stetson Bennett and Jimmy Garoppolo. I don't know that they're going to be quite the same level quarterback.
No, that's a real concern for them. But we got – there's some preseason excitement.
There is. Shedeur Sanders will be starting at quarterback for the preseason opener for the Cleveland Browns coming up on Friday against Carolina. Now, if you've not been keeping up with it, the quarterback room for Cleveland right now is an absolute mess. Dylan Gabriel and Kenny Pickett, I believe both are dealing with hamstring injuries. You've got Joe Flacco at the age of 75 in there at the quarterback room right now. They just brought in Snoop Huntley the other day because of where their quarterback is right now, which Titans fans got a front row seat to that last year on Monday Night Football, the Mason Rudolph-Snoop Huntley battle at quarterback, which I would love to just totally purge from my memory. But he's in there at quarterback now. So because of all of that, Sanders is going to start Friday. And, Joe, my guess is he's probably going to play a lot. Like, they don't have very many healthy options at quarterback right now.
Yeah, and he missed one of the practices this weekend.
He's got a sore shoulder.
Yeah, and apparently, though, he said, it doesn't feel good today, so he backed out. Then apparently he's back and he's okay, so I guess he just needed a rest day. But, yeah, so we'll see. We will see Shedeur Sanders, and I think that's an NFL Network.
That is correct.
Broadcast, right?
That is correct.
So can actually watch.
You going to be locked in?
I mean, I'll probably watch a little bit of that, you know.
I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, to watch a particular player.
Sure.
I think there's another – There's another interesting quarterback. Maybe is it the Joe Milton show? The Joe Milton show coming up this weekend.
I mean,
too.
Of course.
So you got that going on, but yeah, I mean, you know, they're apparently from some observers, Dylan Gabriel has outperformed Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah,
which frankly it does surprise me. I mean, I've never thought Dylan Gabriel is going to be an NFL quarterback. I always did think Shedeur was. Again, I know I'm an amazing quarterback analyst, but it does surprise me a little bit. But this is an opportunity for him to flip that a little bit.
Liam on the text line says, that's Pro Bowler Tyler Huntley to you.
Yes.
It's true. That's when I knew the Pro Bowl was dead.
That pretty
like,
much.
Oh, look, Tyler Huntley just made the Pro Bowl. And he played like four games that year. Awesome.
Pretty much tells you all you need to know about the Pro Bowl.
Yep, pretty much.
God. Hey, Huntley Rudolph.
Good for him amazing. For getting back in the fold. Maybe, you know, I say Shadur is going to play a lot. Maybe Shadur plays like a quarter, and then it's three quarters of Tyler Huntley after that. That'd be something.
Another starting quarterback. This is tomorrow on the NFL Network, 6 o'clock. You got Anthony Richardson.
Yep.
Now, how significant is it that he's starting as opposed to Daniel Jones? I don't know. But more and more, you know, Richardson is playing well. And, again, it's like is he still young enough for that to matter? I would say yes. Although, again, it was kind of like as a rookie, the whole plan seemed to be changed by how he performed in camp. I guess maybe it was more changed by Jim Irsay just saying, we're going to play him. I don't know. But it's better than nothing. You know, it's better than to not have him playing well. And if he can beat out Daniel Jones, that's also maybe not that impressive, but better than nothing.
It would be better than not beating out Daniel Jones.
That's
right. For sure. Like, yes. If you got in there and it's like, wow, Daniel Jones is clearly the better quarterback in camp, that would probably not speak well for Richardson moving forward.
And, like, people thought that was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Multiple people.
Yeah.
That people we talked to. Around the Colts that we talked to. Yeah. Yes. That fully expected that to happen. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Speaking of quarterbacks, is there someone in the NFL that has unlocked a way to predict future quarterback success? We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Later today on 94.9 The Fan, the Sounds taking on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Joe, there's an interesting excerpt from a book by Seth Wickersham. And we've talked about this book before, American Kings, A Biography of the Quarterback, which is coming up on September the 9th. So going to be all sorts of kind of interesting tidbits and stories that are coming out in this book. But there's one, a little excerpt of which came out yesterday that is kind of making the rounds right now, Joe, that focuses in on Sean Payton of the Denver Broncos and potentially like a quarterback, I guess formula is probably the right way to put it, that could be, in his mind, a pretty good predictor of future success at the NFL level, that it looks like he has applied with Bo Nix, with the early returns of which, and after year one for Bo Nix, being pretty darn good for the Broncos. And some people are looking at Denver this year and saying, huh, could they challenge Kansas City in the AFC West? Could they be maybe a sneaky Super Bowl contender in the AFC? So just kind of tell us here a little bit of what Seth Wickersham and this book that's going to be coming out and that this excerpt has uncovered here with Sean Payton.
Yeah, well, I did this and applied it to Cam Ward, but to give the background on it, you know, first of all, for him, it's stats that tell him about processing. Now, as we know, as soon as I read this, I'm like, well, there are tests now that also test processing, S2 cognition, which, of course, has become this controversial thing because of all that happened with C.J. Stroud. But that's what they're trying to do and actually show you, okay, here's the processing speed. But he's trying to – basically the idea is, like, if you have too many of these negative plays, it probably means you are delayed a bit in your decision-making, which as this really good excerpt from this, I'm sure this book will be great, points out, you know, Payton himself, that was his issue as a quarterback. He was a quarterback who was like, you know, like he was a replacement guy in the 87 strike, played in the Arena League. Like, to him, it's like, I love the analogy. It's like, if he's driving a new Mercedes-Benz, you know, all these different features, and he gets overwhelmed by it. Drew Brees gets in there and he's like, boom, 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 knows all the features, and, you know, like the brain's like this. So that's the difference. It really is. It's like making those quick decisions and seeing it real fast, just within enough time to avoid the bad plays. So his whole thing is, and I didn't know anything about this story, but he was totally set on. Patrick Mahomes was going to be his replacement for Drew Brees.
In New Orleans, yep.
In New Orleans, and he was going to get him at 11, and he was totally confident, like, I'm getting him at 11. These people don't know how good he is. But he came up with a formula, which is pretty simple. It just takes all his attempts, adds up the sacks, the fumbles, the picks, and then whatever percentage of the attempts is, you know, what all those negative plays, and then what percentage of the attempts. So for Mahomes, 1349 attempts, he had 68 sacks, 14 fumbles, not fumbles lost, fumbles, and then 29 picks. So that's an 8.1% of his attempts was a negative play. That's a good score.
Yep. Lower, so the better.
For Peyton, yeah, that's a good score. Peyton really liked that score. And so he thought he was going to get him, and then Andy Reid and the Chiefs move up at the last second to 10 and grab him. He's like, and as soon as, you know, in the story, you know, it's like as soon as they moved up, he's like, he knew. He's like, yep, Andy Reid sees it. Now, again, Patrick Mahomes also absurd arm talent. The argument against him was system QB, really, because Texas Tech, it was, there were a lot of, especially back then, a lot more questions about system translating to NFL. But so then you go through, but he's been doing that formula. So, again, 8.1% for Mahomes, which sounds low. Fast forward to last year. So, last year's draft, he the Broncos brought in Caleb Williams. They brought in Drake May, even though they didn't know, they knew they weren't going to get him. But you go through that formula with those guys. Drake May comes out to, you know, 69 fumbles, 14 picks, 16 picks, 14 fumbles, 69 sacks. He's at 10.5%. Pretty good. Caleb Williams, 17.5.
Not great.
The negative play number for Caleb Williams, 17.5. Again, it didn't matter, but that was a little high. Go to Bo Nix. And remember, we're all like, Bo Nix, what are you? Really? Bo Nix?
Yeah.
Really? 2.3%.
Yeah.
First of all, I still can't believe this stat. He never fumbled in college. He never fumbled.
I guess not.
That's wild to me. And also, like, he threw a total of 10 picks? That also seems wild to me. Like, I guess it was more just being ineffective at Auburn, right? And it's not like he was throwing picks. I mean, I knew, like, that last year at Oregon was, like, it was just – And another part of this is completion percentage, by the way. I mean, that's important. And, of course, Bo Nix, 74.8%.
Oh, that was, so we threw a total of 10 picks at Oregon.
Oh, so yeah. That – okay, so this is
just
this,
all Oregon stats.
Which is really weird because, yeah. See, that's a very important thing to keep in mind because these other guys, I mean, like, these other guys are their full careers. You know what I mean?
Well, I looked at the attempts, and it was 878. And I was like, well, he was in college for about 12 years. So he definitely threw more than 878. He threw 878.
That is a two-year, though, yeah, right?
2 years.
That's still pretty good in 2 years?
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting that he would separate, that he would cut him in half. But I guess, you know, that's the thing. If you want to do that with Cam Ward, you would get a much better total number. But I went through his entire career, okay? Yeah. So Cam goes, because Cam's numbers, especially like the sacks, and it's like, yes, that's on the quarterback to some extent, but it's also, I mean, there's a big difference between Washington State and Miami, probably in talent around you too.
Yep.
So anyway, Cam, you go through everything. He had 1436 attempts, and again, I'm not counting Incarnate Word. I'm doing, you know, Washington State's 2 years and Miami's 1 year. You go sacks. You got 46 to 39 to 22 down in those 3 years. Fumbles, you had quite a few fumbles, 7, 12. You only had three last year. Picks, a total of 23. Completion percentage also good. But overall, 10.6% is Cam's bad play percentage, which is, again, not bad. It's right around the same as Drake May. And now if you just isolated Miami, which I didn't do the percentage, but if you just isolated last year like he did with Bo Nix, it's much better.
Sean Payton would have moved up to get him in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. You know, it's much better than that. The bad plays, especially, again, like, you know, the 12 fumbles in 2023, that's a lot of fumbles at Washington State. You know, 19 fumbles total in those 2 years at Washington State. That's a lot. But, again, he also was sacked 85 times in those 2 years. So, you can look at it different ways. You know, did he just have like no help? But also, I think it's fair if you're trying to get an NFL quarterback, understanding the step up in speed and everything of this game and the players you're, I think it's probably a good idea to look at those stats as a quarterback stat, you know?
Yeah. Like it's interesting, like reading through this, you know, Sean Payton really does not look at the offensive line as a part of this either, right? Like, you know, the sack total obviously counts for the negative play. And according to Wickersham, like, Payton doesn't really factor in, like, if your offensive line is just absolutely atrocious.
Because you know what?
Or if it's really good.
You got to throw the ball away.
Yeah.
Like, so whatever your situation is, you need to find a way to, like, minimize those negative plays, right?
Exactly. So it looks like, you know, he's found – I'll tell you a couple things that reading this kind of highlights. Number one, it totally explains the Bo Nix pick, right? Because it's like, what did Sean Payton see in Bo Nix that nobody else seemingly did? And, you know, he talks about that in this book. He says, quote, "I'll get criticized for taking him at 12. This was Sean Payton telling him this before he did it. Like, he knew that they were going to take Bo Nix. "I'll get criticized for taking him at 12. I don't give a bleep. 3 years from now is what I'm worried about," Sean Payton said. So it explains – like what Sean Payton saw and what he was looking at when he took Bo Nix, when nobody thought that Bo Nix was going that high. It also is like, you know, it shows you how important that he believes the processing part is. Like, they talk about Drew Brees in this too, and it's like, you know, Drew Brees, I think the phrase they used was had a B arm. Like, it's not like Drew Brees had some rocket launcher out there his entire career in New Orleans. But he was able to see things and diagnose things and process things very quickly, and that made all the difference in Sean Payton's
mind. Drew Brees is a better version of Kirk Cousins. That's what it is, you know. And honestly, I mean, there's a Brady parallel too there, right? Like, that's why none of them were all that coveted. I mean, Brees was the most of those three guys. In terms, but you're talking about a sixth rounder, a fourth rounder, a second rounder, because you don't have those tools. But the most important tool is your brain.
So what does this tell us about Cam Ward? What does this tell us about how you evaluate a quarterback at the NFL level? We'll continue that discussion coming up next. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 7 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans, the Vols, Vanderbilt with him. Looking forward to all that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Live and Collective Soul at First Bank Amphitheater this Sunday. Be caller number 4, 615-737-1025. Caller 4 will win a pair of tickets to see Live and Collective Soul at First Bank Amphitheater coming up this Sunday, 615-737-1025. Discussing this piece from Seth Wickersham detailing Sean Payton's quarterback formula and what it means. So what was the number you got for Cam Ward again? 10 point what?
So yeah, so the number for Cam Ward is 10.6%.
Okay.
With 107 sacks, 22 fumbles, which is a high number, and 23 picks. And again, that's 3 years. I'm counting Washington State, Miami. I will, before the show ends, I should have done this during the last break, but I was, scrolling the internet. I will come up with one just for last year because, again, they went off, as you pointed out, the 2 years of Bo Nix at Oregon, which were vastly different years than the years playing quarterback at Auburn.
Yeah.
Where he threw, we were just talking to the break, 16 picks.
He had 16 picks in 3 years at Auburn.
Which is fine, but it's not, I mean, again, the no fumbles at Oregon is still wild to me.
Yeah.
Well, like no fumbles in 1 year. No fumble, not lost, just fumbles. We're just doing fumbles here.
Nobody ever got to him and like knocked the ball out of his hand in the pocket. It's like, all right, good.
Never, because he ran a fair amount too. He was a good runner. The ball never popped loose.
Well, I mean, look, I'm sure if people did a deep dive on this, you're going to find some examples of quarterbacks that maybe by Sean Payton's formula don't have a great processing speed in college that have gone on to the NFL. and that have really figured it out. You'll probably find some the other way too, right? Where you look at it and you're like, wow, in college, I mean, their bad play ratio was like 6%, and they got in the NFL and they can't complete a pass out there. So what's the deal? But it isn't like he clearly believes in this, right? Like he clearly believes that this is a big thing. And I think, you know, obviously Drew Brees and the skill set that he specifically brought to the table in New Orleans impacts you of how you view your quarterbacks moving forward. But I mean, I had not heard, and I don't know if it's exactly original to this book or not. I had not heard about the Sean Payton Mahomes stuff.
Yeah, neither did I.
And I mean, it is interesting to think about.
He'd be there still.
Like if Kansas City doesn't jump up to make that trade, how different is NFL history if Mahomes is in New Orleans taking over for Brees?
Brees to freaking Mahomes.
Yeah.
My God. Would that be the greatest 1-2 punch? I mean, I know you got Favre to Rodgers.
Yeah.
Is Favre to Rodgers the best consecutive QB?
It's probably up there.
It's hard to
imagine,
mean,
we thought
right?
that Manning to Luck was going to be that. And then Luck just didn't play long enough.
Was that directly Manning? Wasn't there somebody in between, though, too,
a year? Well, Manning got hurt for a year, so there was somebody playing.
Like Curtis Painter or somebody.
Yeah. So, but
Sorgy.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, there
but
you
like
go.
Their plan of who their starting quarterback was went from Manning to Luck.
I guess that's true. Yeah, if you're counting that, then, yeah, that could have been the best. But I think Favre Rodgers is definitely better than that. I mean, Favre Rodgers are both – Hall of Fame quarterback. So
Locker to Mariota. Mettenberger to Mariota.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Probably not.
I'm trying to think here. Some other beauts.
Levis to Ward.
The Lions have some great ones, you know. It's like Jeff Comlow to Eric Hipple.
Yeah.
Mahomes. Brees to Mahomes. Sean Payton would be sitting there. He'd be counting. Super. I mean, I believe it. Because, you know, again, Andy Reid. And that's the funny thing, too. As pointed out in the story, sometimes we forget. Andy Reid's great and all that. Before Mahomes, Andy Reid was absolutely he runs some good offense, and he's
good
a
coach.
Smart guy.
He
screws up in-game coaching, and now all of a sudden, he's one of the all-time greats because of the quarterback.
Yeah.
Brees to Rivers? No, that doesn't count. People are now throwing these out. Montana Young is good. I mean, Montana Young is – that's a heck of a debate, actually. Montana Young or Favre Rodgers? More Super Bowls, Montana Young.
Yep.
I would argue that Young, Rodgers, and Favre are all more talented than Montana, but I know some people don't want to hear that stuff. That's a very good one.
That's good. It's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it's – you know, there's not a long list of consecutive – quarterback runs like that, right? So,
well, after
it's
Levis,
amazing to think about.
After Levis goes somewhere into Jacksonville we're going to be talking about the Levis Cam Ward back to back. Like, oh my goodness, how could that happen for one franchise?
I mean, there was a time around here where we thought that's what it was going to be. McNair to Young, like it's exactly what we. There's like
that's right.
McNair that's right. is gonna. He's our guy, league MVP, and now Vince is here to take the mantle and run.
Yeah. It should have been a great combo.
Didn't quite work out that way. Did not quite work out that way. So, look, I don't know what this is going to mean for Cam Ward. It is interesting that, you know, this is a large – and I'm not saying it's everything for Sean Payton, but it's clearly a large part of how he evaluates a quarterback is how does simply just adding up the attempts, the interceptions, the fumbles, the sacks – and dividing those, like how does that influence the way you view a quarterback's processing? Like it sounds frankly like pretty simple, right? Like you look at it and you're like, wow, you're just doing a little bit of adding up and dividing going on right there, and that's how you do it. But it's an interesting way to look at quarterback. And again, like when they took Bo Nix, I think a lot of people around the NFL were stunned by that. And if you go just by this formula, it makes sense why they did. And we'll see what Bo Nix looks like in year two.
So it's funny, this is just coming to mind with New Orleans. You know, the New Orleans, I just talked about S2. Well, the New Orleans Saints and one of the great drafts of all time, or certainly in Saints history, they were one of the first They were one of the first clients of S2. So not only does Sean, and I don't know now if Denver is, because I think they do, I think they're doing two per division now, but Sean Payton was an early proponent of S2 and used them. So not only did he have his own stats, we can show people these stats, but he was actually utilizing the tests. I mean, you know, again, processing, any sort of way that you can judge processing, that's formerly the he's just got it. He's just got that special something. Yep. No, it's brain speed. It's your brain 40 time. It's what it is.
Well, and then the other big question that is, like, how much can that improve when you get to the NFL? Like, how much can processing pick up at the NFL level? And that's where I think you'll probably find some varied answers to that question. Like, I'm sure there have been people that have really improved on that front as their careers go. But that largely, to me, kind of feels like something that you've either got it or you don't at that point.
Yeah. Like, how much can you improve your 40 time? Some. Like, if you come in the league and you're, you know, a D tackle who's 50 pounds overweight, then you can improve it from 5'9" to 5'5". But, you know, I think that's mostly built in. So, yeah, I mean, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of factors, including what's around you too, right? Because, like, I don't know the situation with Washington State. Like, if Cam Ward's numbers are so much better, and that's why the actual judge of the test processing, I think, are important. Because, so why did it get so much better? Did Cam Ward get that much faster on his feet? Or is it just like, Washington State, especially his first year, they couldn't block a soul.
Right.
But, again, that is, you have to be resourceful playing that position to be like, okay, well, I know I don't have protection, so my clock has to be a second and a half, not 3 seconds like, you know, my counterpart at Washington.
Heard from McEwen says, Montana, the greatest ever. Does Joe Montana make your list of top 10 greatest quarterbacks of all time? Or is he there with Brady somewhere hovering in the 20s?
Yeah. No, Montana is a really interesting case because Montana was a great quarterback. There's no doubt. And I think about the clutch drives. I mean, so many big plays in NFL history. I also think that Joe Montana is one of the biggest beneficiaries of great coaching and cutting edge offensive coaching in the history of the NFL. I mean, what Bill Walsh did with the West Coast offense, which still is the dominant offense. And I mean, it's the Shanahan version of it, but it's the Mike Shanahan version, but it's still the dominant offense in the NFL. And so you go back to the late 70s. I mean, I'm not trying to be a Montana hater, but this is where I think these conversations get interesting because I think Steve Young is a way more special talent than Joe Montana. But a lot of people who would argue that Steve Young's a better quarterback. Montana did more, won more rings, right?
So what you're saying is Brady and Montana somewhere in the 20s. All right. Good
enough. Now, Brady is easily number one in
Dan Fouts, a distant
AFC East
notch
history.
Above both of them.
By the way, Dan Fouts was out there the other night, the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, of course he was.
Yeah, they interviewed Dan.
Of course he
now,
was.
Now, Montana's a really fascinating case because I think some people are – I've heard people say, he's the best ever. I'm like, I have a hard time with that, man.
You know, you want to know why you want to tune in to this program? You're not going to find a sports show anywhere else that has Tom Brady – as like the 20th best quarterback of all time, Joe Montana is somewhere below that, and Michael Jordan is like the 50 or 60th best basketball player ever. That's what Rex Rowe believes.
Oh, Jordan's definitely a top 10 shooting guard.
6'5".
Hold on, Ed, real quick. Ed says, look at Montana's Super Bowl stats. Close your argument. Yeah, did you see that he was thrown against the Denver Broncos with like an Arena Football League defense? I mean, any of us could have arm punted for 400 yards in that Super Bowl.
There we go.
Get
in there. Zach Mettenberger. Joe Montana. Gentry Estes will be with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.